to my house. I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house. I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Ed Cohen. Ed is from Earthly Edibles Farm and CSA, and we're going to talk about artichokes. Where's your farm, Ed?
It's located in Corbel, California, which is basically across a river from Blue Lake, as the stone flies.
I know you've produced a lot of different types of vegetables as part of your CSA, but you've gotten more into artichokes.
I have. The nice thing about being a CSA grower is that you try to always have diversity for the folks that you're growing for. They get tired of lettuce and zucchini. So we're always planting new things and seeing what grows out on our farm. So I kind of stumbled into artichokes. I planted a very small patch and they did incredible. And we ended up having more than what we needed. So we started selling them at farmers market. We got good reception. The following winter, we actually left them in the ground and we found that they actually overwintered wonderfully, which in other places they don't. Sometimes if it's too cold, they'll basically just melt to the ground, essentially die completely off.
Uh-huh.
And that's why in other places, a lot of farmers will actually mow their artichokes down to have them regrow late winter and then have a spring flush, where we found basically we got light production all through the winter. So although in this area we do get frosts, evidently they weren't hard enough to actually kill the artichokes.
Now, what percentage would you say of the land that you have in production is artichokes?
This year, I would say it's probably going to represent about a quarter to a third of our acreage.
Okay. And how many acres would that be in artichokes?
I think we're going to have approximately 4 acres of artichokes in this year.
Oh, 4 acres.
Yes.
That's quite a bit.
Yeah.
How much space do they need when you grow the plants?
When we transplant them into single rows, and they are spaced at 2 feet on center in the row. And then between the rows, it's 7 foot on center.
Oh, okay. Is that to get in there to cultivate?
Correct. Yeah. When the plants are young, it's really easy. We just ride over with a tractor with our cultivation blades. But once they start growing too big, we can't straddle the rows anymore. So we have to cultivate between the rows. And so what I usually do twice a year is I'll rent a very small compact tractor and able to get between the rows.
Between the rows. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, do you start with seeds or do you start with plantlets that come off the original plant? How do you?
No, we start with seeds every year.
Oh, every year you do?
Yeah. So although we are growing them, even though artichoke is a perennial, it'll grow for years, we grow them as basically a biennial. We let them grow for 2 seasons. And then we disc them under. And so every year I'm starting a new generation of artichoke plants. And so at a certain time every year we'll have a planting that's a year old and a new planting.
Do you get the same number of artichokes off of the first year plants as second year plants?
No, the first year is fairly light, although we do get good center artichokes. The second season in the spring is always the best flush. The spring flush is always the biggest. Although they will flush through the summer and into the fall, we always get the most in the spring. So year one, we get a late summer, fall flush. They won't fruit anymore, but the plants will still continue to grow. And then usually around midwinter, around January-ish, we'll start getting production again.
Now, I've heard that the winter-kissed artichokes really have more intense flavor and are better for some people. They consider them a better artichoke. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. The taste is a little bit better. They're uglier. It's interesting how people value and pick their foods, as Americans anyways. Americans are very picky what their food looks like, sometimes more than what it tastes like. So it does scare some people away. But, you know, a lot of foods in the winter, you know, carrots, all the kales, all the leafy greens, everything sweetens up during the wintertime, and artichokes do the same.
Now, what varieties of artichokes do you grow?
We grow one variety, and it's an Imperial Star type called Tavor. It is bred to be able to deal with warmer temperatures and also to fruit in the first year, which the old Green Globe varieties, you would only get production like year two and then on.
Because Corbel is inland a bit and a little bit warmer. When you think of places where artichokes have been grown in California, Castroville areas, more on the coast, has more of that coastal fog.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. Well, you know, Castroville is inland a little bit, you know, from Santa Cruz. I'm not totally sure, but they actually might be similar climates.
Very similar. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And what do you like most about the variety that you're growing?
Well, 99% is spineless. We'll always have a rogue artichoke plant with these spikes, like, you know, an inch or two long, which is, it's dangerous to even grab them.
Uh-huh.
But first and foremost, it was taste. The taste was amazing. Production was really good on them. You know, compared to the varieties being grown in Castroville, they don't have the shelf life of maybe 3 weeks, you know, because we're not shipping them all over the United States. But the trade-off is I think ours are more tender and flavorful.
I think that's one of the things when you get into these large-scale conventional farms, the purposes for breeding the breeds that they're using is completely different. I mean, does it look like an artichoke, what people expect? Mm. Does it hold well? And not so much tasting it and saying, is this really a delicious artichoke?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
And you grow organically.
Yeah, certified organic farm. Yep. So the pests that sometimes people associate with artichokes, I get questions about aphids.
Yes.
I get questions about pincher bugs.
Uh-huh.
And those are the two main things that I've heard that people have problems with. Aphids, not a problem. I don't know if it's our climate. We have aphids sometimes that will be on our leafy greens during the height of the summer. For some reasons, we do not have them in our artichokes. And pincher bugs, we do have, but the damage is so minimal. I would say 1% of our crop of artichokes, we won't be able to sell because they have too many holes from the pincher bugs. So there's little to no pest damage out where we grow.
And that's so surprising to me because my experience with buying conventionally raised artichokes is a lot of times there's a lot of pest damage to them.
Yeah.
And I've been buying your artichokes for, you know, about a couple of years now, and they've been really clean and they've been really good. And now, in terms of California and the organic market for artichokes, are there many people growing them organically?
Well, I was surprised when I recently sold some to Veritable Vegetables, and, you know, they're right on the doorstep of Castroville, Santa Cruz, and I thought I wouldn't have a chance into the market down in the Bay Area, but they welcomed us, and I took pictures and sent it to them, and they were impressed and they were very happy with them. So this coming year, we hope to cultivate that a little bit more. That said, I always, always strive to keep things local. So
sure.
this is a crop that's doing well for us. So I'm able to grow a little bit more. And once I've saturated this area, which I think I've just about done with local organic artichokes, then, you know, I can sell some out of the area.
I think you're probably getting known as the artichoke guy, right?
Well, yeah, it's better than some other things. Sure.
Right. There could be some other terms. Now, I noticed when you set them up at the farmer's market, because you sell at the farmer's market, it's kind of like pickup sticks.
It's fun. Like, people always are a little timid to get the artichokes on the bottom. I make these giant, like, just
bouquets
of artichokes, you know. But it's fun,
uh-huh.
You know. And actually, it's very easy because artichokes have longer stems.
Uh-huh.
And so it's quite easy to make those big bouquets.
Uh-huh. Now, you say the artichokes have long stems, and I noticed that you trim them with about maybe a 6-inch stem. Mm. How much stem do you think you can cook and eat?
All of that.
All of it.
Yeah, and that's, I want everyone to know, like, basically the stem of an artichoke inside, the whole middle, that's heart. That's artichoke heart, just like people seek the heart of the artichoke. So we leave as long a stem as possible. I think the conventional ones coming out of the Bay Area and such, the reason why they're clipped short is just for packing. They can't afford the space in their boxes. And so I feel like people are actually missing out on like half the goodness of an artichoke. So when you cook the artichoke, basically some people will eat the whole stem, but it's very fibrous. So what I do is you cook it and then you split the stem down the middle and you just scoop out the meat in the middle.
Oh,
and it's delicious.
Okay.
It's all heart.
Okay, that sounds great. Now, for a final question, mayonnaise or melted butter?
Ooh, well, unfortunately, recently I've had to stop with milk dairy products because I was having allergic reactions. So I will do mayonnaise sometimes with a little sriracha sauce in it and mixed with it. But actually, I usually make my own marinades. I'll do like olive oil, balsamic mixes with whatever else is in the kitchen. I usually like to squeeze citrus and some Italian herbs and garlic, and then dip it in there. And it's really good that way, too.
That sounds fantastic.
Yes.
My mouth is watering. This is Jennifer Bell, and I've been talking with Ed Cohen from Earthly Edibles Farm. Thank you so much, Ed.
Thanks.
Grapes and the cakes, hey, come on to my house, come on.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden, and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.